Today's scripture is from Philippians 1, 3 through 7. It's from a letter Paul wrote to the church of Philippi. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. The words of God for the people of God.
Well, those were words from Paul to the community that he was thankful for. And so this morning, on my last Sunday, I just wanted to share some of my memories, and most of them happy, good memories. And some of them just memories of, I don't know, signs of the times, I guess you could say. And so just felt like a good way to kind of close my time here with you all together. One of my earliest memories, first memories, once again, signs of the time, was when Kim and I, and was Alexis with us when we came down here for the very first time? She was. And so we all drove down here from Columbia. And it was the kind of most different welcome kind of meeting with church leaders that we had had, because it was still the tail end of COVID. And so it was the tail end of COVID, and we all came into the gym, and it was in the gym, and there were tables set up spaced very far apart from one another in the gym. And I think some of us had masks on, and from this setup, we talked with one another, like across the gym at each other. And so that was kind of our COVID greeting. And I'm just thankful that we were able to move on from that pretty quickly. But I'll just never forget that. Like, I actually don't remember a lot of the welcomes with other churches, but I remember that one because it was this kind of COVID type experience we were still in, that we were at the tail end of. I'll remember my first, I think it's the first full week in the office. I had come in and I'd brought some books in and some things like that, and we had some trips planned and gone to some different places. And my first full week in the office, I'm walking up to the front doors, and Debbie, our admin, is there to greet me. And Debbie says, I just want you to know, the police are on their way. Everything is going to be fine. And I'm like, welcome to First United Methodist Church. Like, is this me? And she goes, just come on in. She goes, go ahead and come in. And she goes, we had a guy that came into the church, and we think he's probably high or he's coming down. And he was roaming all over the church, and he had come up to the altar table, and he had pushed everything off the altar table that was on the altar table. He had gone into some rooms and had done some stuff in some rooms. And Tim, our custodian, had kind of cornered this guy and sat him down. They were in the fellowship hall together, and they had called the police. And so I'm just like, oh, okay, all right. And so I go downstairs, like my first full day, week, I go downstairs and meet the police officers who are sitting with this guy, and we kind of talk through things. And they're like, and he's talking about why he did what he did. And why he did what he did was because God was trapped in here. And God needed to get out. And he wanted to get out. And he was trying to help God get out. And I thought, well, this is really good theology. I mean, I like this. Yeah, we want. But I prefer you not trash my new church in your pursuit of trying to let God out of here. And, you know, the police and I walked over to the side, and the police person said to me, well, we actually already arrested him once today. He broke into a home, and we came into the house, and we arrested him, and so he's already got one court summons, and they're like, do you want to go ahead and provide a second? And I'm like, I think one's good for the day. I said, if you can just kind of walk him to the curb and please make sure that he doesn't come back in, that would be very good. And so that's what the officers did. The officers took the gentleman and walked him out. And that was my first weekend here. So when Marcia said to me, you need to understand that, you know, it's very important that we keep the doors locked around here. Suddenly that had more gravity to it. Suddenly I was like, okay, I see this. It was interesting. Debbie showed us the video. You could see the video. This guy was like a ghost. In the video that we have, you could actually see him walking across the hallway right after somebody had gone down the hallway. And you could see people going into the office and him coming around the corner and going down the side of the office. And so there were three times where people narrowly missed running into this guy while he was running around, you know, breaking stuff. So that's just a memory. It's not necessarily a good memory. It's just a, oh my gosh, like welcome to the neighborhood kind of memory. Now, once we got past that intro, once we got past a few of those things, my wife and I, we are thankful. We enjoyed lots of opportunities to meet with people in your homes. Many of you, we received great hospitality from. And one of the first, and they're not here this morning, but the very first folks that kind of invited us over to their place for dinner was Joe and Mary Ellen. And it was great because when they introduced themselves, they said, we're going to be really easy to remember because you just need to remember that we're the parents of Jesus Christ. We're the parents of Jesus Christ. This is Joseph and I'm Mary. Joseph and Mary. And I was like, okay, yeah, that is easy. And it's very cool that the parents of Jesus invited us over for dinner right when we got here. And so they were great. We played card games with them. They showed us their garden. It was a wonderful first kind of meeting. We were thankful. You know, Russ and Carla had us over to their river house, and so we got to go over to the river house and hang out on the bank with them. And I got to watch Russ as people canoed by. Russ would just throw rocks at them, tell them to stay off my property. No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. But we sure had fun just kind of watching people. The crazy people float down river and have a great time. The Gravens aren't here, but we were so appreciative. Terry and Nancy, when they had their place built, they had us over. We got to see their new home. And Terry, he's got this big barn set up across the highway and got to go over there and shoot clay pigeons with a bunch of folks. And here we all lined up with our guns, shooting the crud out of these little orange plates flying across the field. But it was a very good time and enjoyed that. And I could, like, there's so many folks in here that we have had dinners with and that invited us over. And to each and every one of you, we're just thankful. You all provided such great hospitality and such great kindness. And we benefited from that in our time here. And we're just thankful for that. I'll never forget, you know, a poignant memory. I think I've talked about this before, so a lot of this isn't going to be new. We had some raccoons make this church into their home for a short time. And I'll never forget the very first time I was in my office. I'm just sitting in my office, and I hear across the ceiling. And I'm just like, well, that's interesting. I wonder what that is, you know? I wonder what that is. And so a couple weeks go by, and Debbie, once again, she calls me, and she says, Pastor Jim, I think somebody's broken into the church, and I don't know if they're here or not, but somebody's broken into the church. And so I come straight over, and I meet her in the hallway, and she's like, she goes, I don't know, they could still be here. And I said, okay, let's walk around, let's take a look. And she's like, okay, should we call the police? I'm like, well, not yet, let's just look. And so Debbie and I start walking down the hallway, and sure enough, there's a ceiling tile that's been ripped out, and so that's gone. And then in this hallway here, like, all the artwork and stuff that was on the walls had been ripped off the walls. Tables had been knocked over. Stuff had knocked over. Debbie and I take the corner around to where the builder's class is, that hallway. Debbie's in front of me, and I'm right behind her. Yeah, you know what's coming. You know what's coming. Debbie takes the corner first. And as we come around the corner, I peer into the other corner, the opposite corner of that hallway, and it's one of those rolly carts that we have that we put the food on, one of those rolly carts, and I see the raccoon on the bottom of the rolly cart in the corner of that hallway. And I point and I go, well, there's our burglar. And Debbie sees the raccoon and screams, and like a defensive tackle, like rolls right through me. Rolls right through me and around into the hall. And I'm like, it's just a raccoon, right? And I say that, but then we do. We tried to call the animal shelter folks to come, and they couldn't get there. And so we called the police. And so the police officer comes, and I ask the police officer, can you help us with this raccoon? And she looks at me. She looks at me like, why don't you man up? And like, if you really want me to do this for you, I will. And she does. She takes a table and she lays it in the hallway and she goes and opens the door. And then I think she had a nightstick and she took that and she just walked towards it, hitting the wall. And that thing ran on out, ran outside. And she's like, is that better? Thank you. I didn't want to get rabies. Appreciate you taking care of that. So she did. That was, and I've shown you all the raccoon before. Somebody, I don't know if it was Debbie or bought a stuffed raccoon. Who was that, you, Marcia, that bought the stuffed raccoon? Marcia bought me a stuffed raccoon. And so I'm taking the stuffed raccoon with me. Yeah, the stuffed raccoon's coming with me as a reminder of the raccoon fiasco. So that's some other memories, just some fun things that just kind of random. But, you know, something I'm very proud of is, as I reflect, I'm proud of the support that we've given to Chukuki United Methodist Church. And all the wonderful things we've done, and that partnership and that friendship, the amount of funds that we've raised at different Christmas gatherings to help upgrade the parsonage for that Methodist church in Mozambique, helping with their church building that is needed to be updated. We've done so much there. United Methodist Women this last time, raising all the funds in order for them to have the five sewing machines, six sewing machines. In order to do that, and I'll never forget you all making me wear that jacket full of all the ribbons, and I've got the jacket. It's coming with me as a good reminder of what we were able to do with, and the scars, yeah, of the blood that I gave in order to do that. Yep. So appreciative that Carla took the time to go and to take that trip and go meet with them and to really serve as our ambassador for First United Methodist Church, but also for the Missouri Conference, to go and to visit with them. And so a special opportunity. I was thankful she had the courage to take that, to do that. And just everything that's been done to build that friendship and that relationship. And I know that that's not everybody's cup of tea. I know that that's, you know, some folks, you know, you all want to support locally. And I think for those that have that call, then that's your call. But I think it's special that this church has supported a church in Africa and had that kind of relationship and that connection. And so I'm proud of what we did there. I am thankful that I got to do the Men's Canada fishing trip this year in August, of that group of guys and the camaraderie that we got to enjoy and that we got to do that. And that was one of my highlights when I was at Schweitzer in Springfield, was the Men's Canada fishing trip. So I appreciate Steve Wood putting that all together. And I know, Steve, I know that stressed you out to put that together and to make that all happen. But you did that. I appreciate it. That trip, as those guys know, it was both very enjoyable and very, very challenging. It was a challenging trip at times. We did 3 days of travel on the front end and the back end of that trip. We did two in a car and then one on a houseboat to get to where we were going and to come back. And that was a lot of great time to relationship build. And so love that time talking to the guys, getting to know the guys better. The other thing that made it challenging and hard, and I've talked about this, was as soon as we get on the boat, as soon as we get unloaded, Kim is with our dog putting her down, because it was just that time. And so my dog had died at the beginning of that trip. And so, my gosh, just trying to sit in my room and cry for a while and then come out of that room and be like, okay, let's go fishing. But that's what we did. That's what we did. And so, but that was part of the challenge of it. But we had a great time. I'll share one story from that trip, and I think I shared this, but this is the best story ever. Luke Tabor was my fishing buddy, and he was in the boat with me. And we decided one night we were going to go out late, right? Because we had seen this cove, and we thought there was some fish in this cove, and it wasn't far away. Keep in mind, these boats have no lights on them or anything like that, right? And so it's getting dark. And so we run across the cove, and sure enough, we start casting in that cove, and we are catching fish left and right. It was the best, like, segment of fishing we had had, catching bass. And Luke catches one of the biggest northern pike I'd seen all week. And this thing's ferocious. It's a prehistoric beast. It's half the size of the boat. We're trying to get this thing in. We're trying to get all the best pictures. We're taking all the pictures. And then suddenly, once we've done this, we realize it's almost dark. Like, and we meant to be back before dark. And so we start heading back once we realize this. And we're heading back and we're heading back, and we realize we don't know where we are. We're like, this does not feel like the right way. Like, what do we do? And Luke says, well, I think we need to head this way. And I said, well, how about I get out my GPS? And I check the GPS. So I check the GPS, and the GPS says to go the other way. And he says, okay, let's follow the GPS. And so we start to follow the GPS, and we go through this one area where these lakes come together, and it's shallow, and the grass has grown up, and the weeds have grown up. And I'm starting to go through it, and Luke says, you might want to kill the motor, Pastor, so we can kind of row through this and then start the motor up when we get to the other side. And I said, well, Luke, I actually went through something like this yesterday, and the motor did fine. Like, I think it's a weedless motor. And he says, okay, like, whatever, I guess you're the guy back there. And so we're pushing on through, and we get through the weeds, and all of a sudden, chung, 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 chung. And the motor's dead. The motor dies. And I pull the motor up, and there's grass all up in it. I'm pulling the grass up. And about that time, Luke looks at me, and he says, Pastor Jim, if we get stuck out here, I'm going to kill you. And he said it very seriously, like, no joke, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, well, you don't have to worry about that. Like, I think the bears will beat you to that. Like, I think the bears will get us. And he didn't appreciate that at all. So we got it out. I put it back in the water, and now it's the defining moment where you pull the ripcord to see what happens. I pull the ripcord, and it starts. And he's like, good news, I'm not going to kill you, but I'm going to be mad at you for a long time. And so we power on back to the boat, and it is black at that point. The guys are on the boat. They've got flashlights out. They're like, are we going to go get them? Are we going to leave them? Fortunately, we made it back, and they didn't have to leave us out there is what they were probably going to do. But it was just a fun story of that men's trip. Some other things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the work that the Compass team has done and for being involved in that. It was a year of my own training in Springfield, where I went for a year and for a full day and did this training, and then came back, and we put this adaptive change team together, and we spent a year me training them on everything that I've been trained on, all the different things there. And then the process of switching that adaptive change team to the Compass team, and kind of that Compass team forming for the direction of the church and the ministries of the church. And that kind of work. We also did great work around identifying values for the church and preaching on those values and teaching those values, putting the calendar together, the value calendar, where all that stuff is kind of listed. And we really felt like those values reflect who we are as United Methodists, but who we are as First UMC. And so it's just been great to be a part of that team and see the work that they've done. And I'll not forget what we did as a part of that group. I'll always be thankful. This is something else. Always. By the way, there's no order to this. This is like chaos on paper. which I have not allowed myself to do for many years, but today this is chaos on paper. Always be thankful for, being able to work with Scott Shoemate and the work that we did together and having him in the office and buddying with him, to be there with him when he passed and with his family and with his girls was an honor for me to be in that moment with them and to share that moment with them. I don't know that I've ever worked with anybody in ministry who could be so helpful and so annoying at the same time. And that's what I loved about Scott. That's what I loved about him. He was always so helpful and always pointing this out and pointing this out. I'm like, Scott, I don't know. Like, you've got this. You've got it. And so just enjoyed my time there and with his family in that moment. Also along those same lines, never forget being a part of Bill Ursary's funeral service. Doing that, it was kind of my first time to MC a funeral service. Usually MC a wedding or maybe a roast on, and that's what it felt like. It felt like it was kind of a roast on Bill, because all these people that loved him got up there and told these great stories, and I was just the guy filling space in between of bringing the different people up. I'll never forget, we get close to the end, and Ronnie gets up there, and Ronnie starts sharing all these stories about Bill and all these different things, and then Ronnie brings out this can of sardines, and he tells this story on Bill about how they used to eat in the deer stand and all this stuff. Well, Ronnie went into the deer stand and found a can of sardines, found an old can of sardines, and he cracked that can of sardines open and ate one of those old sardines. And Marcia and I are sitting behind him, right? Marcia and I are emceeing this thing. And we look at each other like, oh my gosh, here comes the smell. And sure enough, there was some smell from that old sardine can. And it was pretty nasty. So I'll not forget that ever. I'll not forget that ever, but that was a moment I'll not forget. So as I kind of reflect on my time here at First United Methodist Church, I give God thanks for who you all are, for who you are as a church, and for who you all have been for us, the family you've been to us. This is a very diverse group of people. In its own way, it's a very diverse group of people. What I want you to know is to be this diverse, it takes a tolerance and a kindness. And you all represent that well, this tolerance and this kindness towards one another in your diversity, in your difference. This is a very hospitable group of people. There's great hospitality amongst you all. And that takes a genuine warmth. And so I'm thankful for the genuine warmth that you all have. I'm thankful that you're a people focused on serving community. That's a big part of the identity here, is serving community. It's interesting, United Methodist mission statement, making disciples for the transformation of the world. I understand that. I think it changed last week, by the way. So we finally have a new mission statement. But the old statement was making disciples for the transformation of the world. And we make disciples, Jesus made disciples to bring about in his time what he called the kingdom of God. That people on earth might know the kingdom of God. That really there's this ideal place in heaven where people treat one another well because the Father says so. and so we do. And so Jesus was really making the type of disciples that would hopefully change this world, because we would all learn to treat one another well and we would treat one another better. I would say that First United Methodist Church feels like the kind of church that wants to bring the kingdom of God to Lebanon, that wants to see the kingdom of God known here. And what I would share with you all is that's a great gift to Lebanon. You all provide a great gift to Lebanon in being this kind of kingdom of God church focused on just loving people well and being good to others, to be a kingdom of God church. So we have we have many other memories, so many other memories, all of which I'm thankful for. All the things that we've been able to do with you all, the ways that you all have cared about us, that we've done life together. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for letting me be your pastor, and letting Kim be pastor's wife and be a part of things here. And we both know that God has great things for both of us. Great things for this church, great things for us as we kind of go different ways here. And so we will meet one last time together. We will meet at the table. And as we meet at the table, we will give thanks for God's work of redemption in our lives and in your life together. Let's pray. God, thank you for this church and for who they are and for the way that they express the kingdom of God made known in Lebanon. And I pray for their continued mission and their continued work, their continued love towards one another and love towards this community, even when it's hard, even when the community does not always respond, even when the community doesn't always show up, that they would continue to show love and grace and kindness and hospitality and genuine warmth in all the ways that you have gifted them to do. And so be with us all in our future journeys in all different areas. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.